welcome back to another exciting episode of Back to the Future. Now, today I have a fabulous short called Have a Safe Trip, and writer-director Liz Weiss is here. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So I guess you probably get this asked question a lot. Is this based on personal experience?
Any relation to any person's living or dead is purely coincidental, but it might be more coincidental than not. We'll put it that way.
I was going with that. I will accept that as an answer. And also, as a short film director, I find the biggest problem for you guys, besides budget, obviously you're always, you're using your own money 99% of the time, which is fine. I'm not asking about that. Yeah. My question is your locations.
Yeah.
Because you have a couple. I mean, really, I think it's two, but it could be the same place, but I don't think so. So let's start with the kitchen at the beginning, because that's a big part of it. Whose kitchen is it?
Is actually Michael Stoller, who is the lead actor. It's so interesting. I actually don't know I can't remember the full lineage right now, but they live in South Philadelphia, which is where we shot it. And their house has been in a lineage of artists for quite some time. And they, it's an artist house. And literally their landlord is you can have this house for the rent that we will give it to you at, as long as you have artist salons here and kind of keep with the tradition of the house. So it ended up being perfect location for that. That was the kitchen. That was the living room. All of that. We did only ultimately have two locations. And then the other one was for the Mad Men sequence, which was a very dear friend of mine, Faith in Portugal. She is at the time she was a real estate agent. Now she works in commercial real estate, but that was actually at her office and they had an empty room. And my art department just did a bang up job with a completely empty room and made it very 60s mod. It was amazing.
So let's go into the kitchen. When you walk in as a director, you have to be everything in the short film. I realize that. Mm-hmm. You're yep, this is perfect. Or do you have second guessed yourself? Maybe I could find something better. Or because of the time period, you have to go with what you're offered.
I mean, I knew one way or the other. I had a team. So myself, as well as my entire team, all are full-time freelancers in the film industry. So we are very much can-do people. So I was anxious about the kitchen specifically because it was small. It was very tight. So we did do a walkthrough and had very tight blocking. We couldn't experiment a ton with the blocking in terms of the beginning. So that was definitely a limitation. But we wanted to sort of have the continuous flow into the living room and that kind of thing. So we were we're going to make it work, but it was definitely, it was smaller than we would have liked, but I think we pulled it off.
Okay. Let's go to some set design. You did some set design work, I presume, in the living room?
We did. Yes. Actually, a lot of that was kind of how they had it. Actually my set decorator also lives in the house. So it was kind of very easy peasy. So it was kind of it was already his style and his vibe. So he did decorate it, but not initially for the short. It's just his house where he lives.
Okay. Because it looked like a lot of, I would say, extra things that weren't at needed were there in the living room.
That was just stuff. Their house. And I looked around and looked at everything. And I was I mean, these are all things this character would have and this character would own. I mean, we moved things around here and there. There were some things and some shots that we had in some B-roll that didn't end up making the final cut for various reasons. But I thought all of it sort of very effectively told the story of who this character was and at what stage of life he's in.
Okay. We have the door that opens at the beginning of the scene. We have a lovely lady that comes in carrying a bag of chips. Mm-hmm. Now, I realize later in the script the chips are brought up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you, this is going to be a bizarre question, so be prepared. Did you experiment with types of chips, or she got to choose her own?
She did get to choose her own. She did get to choose, whatever she felt most comfortable with. Something I am very proud of, actually, is that door, the entrance, we shot it night for day. So my gaffer, who's an incredibly talented gaffer, Ed Joseph, he actually gaffed the whole outside to make it look like it was nighttime, but it was fully.
Oh, really?
The day.
Okay. There's no way. That good work. I thought it was nighttime.
I was like, oh my God, he did such a good job, because just with how the schedule stuck out, we were like, we have to shoot this first. And I was like, oh, but we can't. It's going to be continuous. And he was like, I got it. And he did an incredible job. So I was quite proud of that. We pulled that off.
Did you write the whole date montage kind of thing for something your experience of, or just something out of your head?
It actually was the first short film I've ever written.
Okay.
But I, so to be honest, what inspired it is I just feel like I was in just the crowds that I, ran in college and in the film industry. I've heard an urban legend over and over from various groups and people who don't know each other of a girl who took acid and thought she was a glass of orange juice. And I'm like, how is it that all of you know this person? Because none of you know each other. So this is clearly some kind of like stoner urban legend situation. And I thought that was so funny because by that point I had heard that story from so many different people. And I wrote the whole script around that anecdote that I've heard so many times, and who knows if it's real or not.
I think it's kind of every, even any urban folklore is based on something.
That's true. I'm sure it
So it
happened at some
must
point
have
to
happened to
somebody.
somebody and it's just continued the story.
It spread like wildfire. I hope whoever she is sees this one day.
I hope so too. Now, the animation, you introduced me to it right at the beginning of the short, which I thought was just production value. Then I realized, nope, it continues as we go on. So was that always the plan to have something a little funky? Obviously, when we get to the orange juice scene, yes, I understand why we're in Animatedville, but we didn't need to be there at the beginning.
You're right. We are 100% right. Honestly, the beginning, I went back and forth with it. My initial plan was not to have animation in the beginning. I had just kind of, I mean, it's very, heavily inspired by 60s psychedelia. It was actually in it was included in a psychedelia now curated lineup, and I was just like very inspired by those types of like Yellow Submarine, those types of films. And I was like, I don't know how to start it, and I wanted to do like a fun kind of funky thing, but we really didn't have anything else in the budget to shoot anything live, and it was just so hard to get the crew all together. And I was like, what if we did an animated sequence? And I'm a Rocky Horror head, so I was also like, oh, like the lips in the beginning would be like kind of fun, one of my favorite movies paying tribute to that. So I was like, wait, like that would be really fun to have like an animated fun little intro that we can kind of do whatever we want with. We're not really limited, and then it pays off later as well.
Now we gotta ask, who did the animation?
Her name is Busra Nakiboglu. She's incredible. I went to grad school with her brother, and I needed an animator. I had a very humble, modest budget, and she was still in college at the time, actually. Like, she's that good. And she was like, I'm still in college. I want to work on a short film. And I was like, amazing. So she did it, and she did a fabulous job. She really did a bang up job. She was awesome.
But do you find that that helps you? I mean, you are a freelance worker, you're actor, act, whatever. But you must have all these friends that can help you. You're like, hey, I did you this solid, you can do that solid. So, I mean, do you think
Yeah,
that might
very
come
much
back?
so.
You're going to owe her a favor, I think, is what I'm hearing.
100%. Whatever she needs, I hope she knows she can cash in on that, whatever she wants. That was really like the best part of this short is I did get to make it with like all of my best friends and people who are very close to me. And I every time I go back and watch it, I see a little bit of everyone in it. Like, they all kind of have to express their taste one way or the other. And like, I very much wanted to have like a collaborative environment. Like, all ideas were open. I was open to hearing whatever. We all very much worked together. And at the end, my dear friend Colton, who was my cam op, like, he came up to me and he was like, thank you. And I was like, for what? Like, you just worked all day. And he was like, I had so much fun. Like, I haven't had fun doing something like this in a while. And I was like, that's what I wanted to go for. I mean, I was like, it'd be pretty silly if we made a acid trip short film and everyone was miserable. So
Did you do the editing too?
I was in the room for all of the editing sessions, but I myself did not do it, especially like I knew it was going to take quite a bit of very intricate editing, but it ended up like we really ended up having to go and recolor a lot. And like it the editing post process ended up taking quite some time. I'm glad we took the time with it that we did, but it definitely took a very, very skilled editor, and I had a really good editing team who just did a
Okay.
wonderful job.
How well do you know your short? Because I have a very specific question about time.
Go for it.
Okay, at 3:30, there's an edit as a man goes to the couch. So you have an edit in the living room, and I've just have a problem with that one edit. And that's why I
Okay.
wanted to ask you. It's very jerky. It's right at the 3:30 mark. I could see the edit right there. He's walking the couch. You're discussing edit, and then the thing. I want to know what I missed because you've cut it right there, and then he continues to the couch. So I know you've cut off something. So was
You're
there something I
correct.
missed?
It's
Right
more
at the
so,
three. It's between 3:30 and
I know
3:33.
exactly what you're talking
And
about.
so is that pretty good that I like that's I had to watch it twice because I thought it was something I missed the first time.
Yeah, this is low key my worst nightmare because I remember like literally sitting in there and be like, nobody will know. Nobody will notice.
Oh, boom, picked it up. Sorry, first watch. I'm like, there's a mistake
Yeah,
right there.
no, you clocked my T. There was a light. There was
God.
something dangling at the top,
I
and
knew
like
it happened. I'm like, why did they edit here? It was
no
driving
matter
me nuts.
what we did, like it just didn't look right, and like we
Okay.
struggled with that section. I was just like, how do we do? And like that ended up just being the most effective way without sort of losing more, you know,
Yeah,
like it
no,
just
that's
kind of
fine. But I'm like, this, the edit didn't make sense to me, is really my question. I go, why was this edit here?
There was a
Sorry, just,
reason. There was a
okay,
very,
that's
yeah,
what I wanted to
there was a
ask. I'm
reason.
sure you don't get asked these questions, so.
No, wow, whoo, balls today. Love it.
So, a little Mad Men references goes a long way, I would say, in your
Sure.
short. So,
I would say so. Funny because I've never really watched
you've
it,
never
but
seen Mad Men.
I've seen the pilot, like I've seen a little bit of it, but like it actually just like the person who inspired the character of Carl was very obsessed with it. So it was more so a reference to
Okay.
a specific person, not necessarily a affinity I have for the show. I have a lot of respect for the show. I have a lot of respect for its place in the cultural zeitgeist, but it's not like
Well, as
meaningful
soon
to
as you
me
get to the
specifically.
office scene, I'm like, it's Mad Men.
Yeah.
I've seen every episode of Mad Men, so I'm like, oh, I know where she's going here. I kinda like it.
My production designer did as well. So I'm like, okay, you know this world. I'll take a look at what you're doing, but I had full faith in her that she was going to do an incredible job, and she did. So
Okay, who made the dinner at the end? Because you have a scene with dinner at the end. Did you make that? Did you have a sh
my production designer and set decorator and my props person.
Did you guys ever eat it? Because they have bites, but I wouldn't say they're actually eating it.
No, it sat out all day and it was disgusting. So no,
Oh.
I was like, nobody touch that. Nobody eat that.
Okay, so let's go back. I really felt when this short started, you're going for a Bewitched style, if you even know what Bewitched is.
I mean, like, you know, when I was younger, I mean, I was first introduced to like the 2005 remake, but I am familiar with the OG, the classic.
Okay, that's a rough watch. So, did you go have that going through your head at any time? Because I really felt she was Samantha, and just is just with the acid, that was like a new version of Samantha. Maybe I'm reaching here, but you can help me out.
No, I mean, I think Carly, the lead actress, I think she does have that vibe. I mean, that wasn't a direct like you know, inspiration for me, but I did like in terms of like normie guy falls in love with like witchy, gothy, however she chooses. I wrote her a little bit more gothy. She played her a little bit more, I think, like not quite as goth forward, but I really liked the interpretation she had of the character. So I really just love that dynamic of like just this normie square guy just really wanting to impress this ethereal woman. So like in terms of like wanting her to be a little bit larger than life, yeah, that was definitely intentional.
Now, let's talk about your lead actor for a second. I think he plays his part perfectly. Like, I really, but I'm like, I was thinking to myself, it was just me, why is this woman dating this guy? Like, she wants something different. Like, her last few dates haven't gone well, so she's gonna try something a little more basic? Because I don't see them together, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and that actually is something that like through rehearsals with them, because they've been friends for a while, so like they had a very good chemistry. I've been friends with him for many years. He read my first draft of this script years ago, and I was like, I definitely want you to play this character. They also kind of said the same thing to me. They're like, we want to work on like why they're together and that sort of
Right.
thing. And so we did a lot of rehearsal, a lot of kind of character work for something that is like, you know, a short silly rom-com, but I think, you know, she had kind of come up with She's had her heart broken. She's been with a lot of like kind of maybe guys in like the hardcore scene. Maybe they're kind of like, alternative, whatever. I think that's what the emphasis on when she calls him a sweet guy. I don't think she's
Yes.
really had that before. I don't think she's had a sweet guy. I don't think she's been with a sweet guy. I think she also was a little like, oh, I'm not sure about you at first. We wrote the line in the beginning. We had her ad lib of like, oh, they went to the same school, and oh, they have like, they've been friends for a while. Maybe they're in the same like group. Maybe they're acquaintances, but they're not like, they've maybe hung out in a group that they don't have a one-on-one rapport, but he's trying to change that, And so I think it was very much a little bit cliche of like, she's never dated a nice guy, but like, let's see if it works out. Who knows?
So, in writing in your first script, were you nervous when you actually went to production? I mean, I know your experience, but this is different. You're in charge now.
Definitely from that aspect of like, I've been on a gazillion sets, I've worked on a gazillion shows, but it's never been me in the driver's seat. So that aspect of it, I was very nervous. I had a really wonderful producer who also kind of he took care of everything on the back end so that I wasn't worried about any of that. So I think having him being able to take care of things behind the scenes, that I just truly had so much faith in my team that like everybody did such a wonderful job of just like they had their shit on lock, that I could just focus on being a first-time director. And I'm really grateful for all of them for that, because I don't know that in any other circumstance would it have necessarily been that way.
Is your next step a feature, or are you going to continue with a few more shorts to get a little more comfortable? Not saying you're nervous, just saying.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have another short that I still am like, not, I like it, but I want to get it. It's not shoot worthy yet. I have a feature that I love, love, love. I have two producer friends in LA who really want to make it. So actually, before I hopped on with you, I was doing some rewrites on that script. So I would love to direct it, but we'll see how that ends up shaking out, depending if how much funding we get, how we get the funding, et cetera, all that fun stuff. But I love that feature so much, and so that is on the periphery of something I'm working on. But also, if I have time to squeeze in a short in between there, preferably another animated one, I think that'd be really fun.
Now, being a first-time person, but having vast experience, how did you decide what festivals to go to? I mean, you've been in a zillion movies, but I mean, you're not really doing the other work.
Yeah, that's wow, that's a really good question. Yeah, like I wasn't so hung up because the industry's changed so much over the past few years. Like, it's just, I feel like the longer I've been in it, I think a lot of the rules and the rule book are very outdated now. I think festivals are great. I also think it's not that different at this point in the festival circuit from mainstream studio models, in terms of if you're not someone's kid or you don't know people, it's a little bit harder to have a ton of success in the festival circuit. So my goal was more so get it in front of as many people as possible. So I've applied to many festivals. I've gotten into two. It was at the Philly Film Society Spring Fest and First Glance Film Festival, is where it's going to have its Philadelphia premiere. No, not Philadelphia premiere, First Glance premiere this week on Friday, which is great. And that's been wonderful. And I've loved, loved, loved that. I've had more success doing open screenings. I've taken it around to like Millennium Film Fest or Millennium, sorry, excuse me, Film Workshop. I started an event at Second City in Brooklyn where I screened it there as well. And I've screened it at a bunch of different places where I've had sort of people in the community watching it and seeing it. And that's kind of how it's gotten the most amount of attention, and people following me, people DMing me, people saying, hey, let's collab. And that's been more valuable to me, I think, than the sort of the anonymity that comes with a festival with such a huge lineup. So I felt really happy about how it's turned out. I still am waiting to hear from quite a few festivals, so we'll see. I mean, like, fingers crossed, knock on wood, like, would love to get into more, but it's not the end all be all for me.
That's awesome. I think that's great. So hopefully this is positive in the future. You're going to have lots
Yeah.
of stuff to work on. That's great. Okay. I'm going to move on to some fun questions for you, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Because I know you've listened to the show, so you're prepared for
Yeah.
these. You've done your prep work.
If you ask me about another time code,
No,
I'm gonna cry.
there is one more, but that one didn't bug me as much as this
Okay. All
one.
right. No, but no, do tell me though. Do tell me. I do want to know.
No, I'd have to rewatch it because I didn't write it down a
Got it, got it, got it.
second.
Okay. No, email
I
me
can
because
tell you
I
what had
yeah.
happened off air. I will let you know.
Okay, totally.
Your favorite film.
Favorite film, Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Excellent choice. One film you always recommend to people and they never watch it.
Oh my gosh. I feel like also Pee-wee's Big Adventure,
I've
but
seen it in theaters, so I'm old.
also
I did
yeah.
see that in theaters.
Probably Poor Things. I tell so many people to watch it. Like, a lot of people just don't like Yorgos Lanthimos, the most, which I get.
I do understand that as a person that's seen every Yorgos Lanthimos film, you just gotta try them. It's
I
like
agree.
everyone is different. They're not, some I love, some I don't enjoy.
The same. He's hit or miss for me too. I mean, Poor Things is in my Letterboxd top four, but like, not all of them did it for me. So.
I agree. Okay. And the easiest question you're ever going to have, what's your favorite movie snack?
Oh my gosh. Oh, sorry. We have a guest. I'm sorry about that. Favorite movie snack? You know those like dibs, the little like ice cream thingies? Love those guys. I like only ever crave them at the movies though. I feel like I never eat them any other time, but I
Probably
like
not.
Pavlov. No, I Pavlov myself into craving them whenever I walk into a theater.
Before I let you go, tell me where you can find your work, Facebook page, Twitter, whatever we're tweeting out today.
Yeah, amazing. Well, Have a Safe Trip is public on Vimeo for the time being. If anybody wants to check it out. You can check out my writing and my work. I am a writer for Reductress, among some other platforms. I'm also on this season of The Floor with Rob Lowe. You can check out posts about that at my Instagram, which is at Liz Kawista, LizKahwiesta. My Twitter is the same. And my TikTok is the same as well for the Gen Zers who are listening.
There's nothing wrong with having TikTok for the Gen
No, I love
Zers.
TikTok. I mean, listen,
Okay.
I love it, but I know some people are like, oh my God, TikTok. But like, listen, I love it. I spend way too much time on it.
Thank you for your time and have a great evening.
Thank you. You too.